Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to a special Wednesday night. No, it's Thursday night. Well, special Thursday night edition of Prospect361.com season, mid-season prospect list, I guess is what we call it. I don't even have a name for it. So what did I call it? Something like that. Anyway, it's just me here this evening, guys, and we are going to talk about our mid-season prospect list, the top 50. I know a lot of people are very interested in that list, want an update on what I'm thinking about some of these players. There's been a ton of movement, a lot of guys promoted here already in the first half, and a ton more guys that are on this list won't be on this list come this time, the beginning of the season next year, because they will have moved on. And we're also just going to talk about another 10 that just missed my list. Now, as I said in that article, don't think of these as number 51 to 60. These are just guys I liked, and I like a lot. And if you think it's scientific and I do weighted average to figure out 1 through 100, it's just not that way. I basically try to figure out slot players in and then figure out, you know, where I want to put them. So a guy that is 50 could be anywhere from 35 to 70. It just, you know, there's that big of a range. And I talked to a lot of other guys who do listen. They do it the same way. So there is no stat-based analysis or I've taken a look at their fastball velocity, given it a grade, and the curveball, and given it a grade, and, you know, whatever speed, and given it a grade, and then say, yeah, here is the score. Maybe I should do that, but I don't. And I simply sit down and study it and come up with the list. So again, these ones that just missed are guys that I like a lot, and was hoping to get into the top 50 they miss, but I liked another 50 to 100 guys as well. And unfortunately for those of you in deep dynasty leagues, those are the ones you want to talk about, but we're not going to get to them all this evening. We are going to focus on that top 50 and, again, just some other guys I liked. But before we get started, we've got to talk about this week. To me, from a fantasy baseball standpoint, clearly the four boringest days of the fantasy season. A little bit helped by Mr. Aaron Judge and Jose Quintana. So, first of all, look, I've been the guy that has been saying there's going to be a regression of Aaron Judge. How can there not be? We've all seen it, the 40% home run to fly ball ratio, the 30% strikeout ratio, the, you know, just the crazy numbers that he's putting up. And statistically, it can't last. But after seeing what he did on Monday evening, as a baseball fan, gosh, I hope he doesn't regress. That was freaking awesome. I was so encouraged and excited about watching what he was doing that I couldn't take my eyes off of it. What Justin Bour did, and who knows that Justin Bour had that kind of raw power? Did you guys? I had no idea he had that kind of raw. But to see Aaron Judge come back and do what he did almost easily and then just easily win, you know, the home run derby and do it in a way that just – showed that he could hit the ball way farther than anybody else, even the great Giancarlo Stanton. And I don't know if you saw after the round where they shook hands, Aaron Judge is gigantic compared to Giancarlo Stanton, and Stanton's a huge man. It's just Judge is a beast of a dude. And I remember when I first saw him, it was about 3 years ago, I think at the Arizona Fall League. I think that was his first season after he signed. I could be wrong. I might be off by a year. And just to see him standing right next to him, I look like a child standing next to him. I'm 6 feet one, about 185 pounds or so. So I'm not, I'm a fairly svelte guy, if that's what you call it. But he could have, like, I don't know, stepped on me and I would have gone away. He's just massive. His hands are, you can't even begin to believe how big he is. And the thing that no one has ever talked about, and maybe it's me and I'm crazy, but when I saw him in the minor leagues come up, and I saw him a ton because I live here in the New York area, so I saw him a ton at Trenton, I saw him a ton at Scranton-Wilkes-Barre first of all, he did not look like the player he has become. But his swing was shorter. He was shorter to the ball because he had smaller arms. And when you watch him play in games, he keeps both hands on the bat, and that is to purposely swing from getting long. And quite frankly, it's working. But if you saw in the Home Run Derby, he was taking that right hand off, excuse me, that left hand off, and going for broke and just hitting 500-foot bombs. And it was majestic. It was a great thing to see. And while I think it is going to regress in game, and I think, as I told you guys before, they'll be looking for some reason why it regresses. And I bet you everybody points back to, you know, the All-Star Home Run Derby, when you guys will know that it has nothing to do with that. It was just a guy who was going to statistically regress. I hope he keeps it up, because it has been a thing of beauty to watch him become a star in front of our eyes and become a MLB, you know, I don't want to say face of the league, but I'm going to say it, a face of the league. And this is a guy that you will stop doing what you're doing to watch his at bat, because he could do something amazing, because he was doing it all Monday night, 80 swings or something like that in the amount of home runs. It was one of the most physical feats that I've seen in a long, long time. I always think of Bo Jackson climbing up the wall and running up the wall. It's like, how can that be? But Aaron Judge hitting the ball that far, you just shake your head. I mean, how is that possible? So I don't know about you guys, but I loved it. I loved Aaron Judge, and I'm rooting for him to be, you know, just an all-star every year so we can see that. I went to a game on Tuesday and Wednesday, so I just saw the end of the All-Star game. Looked incredibly boring. Pitcher's battle, I'd rather it be 10-9, but I saw the end of it. And yesterday I was out, both games I was out in Staten Island watching the baby Yankees, and a lot of bad players and short season ball. The Yankees, I don't know if you guys recall, about 3 years ago, signed a lot of kids out of the Dominican Republic. And I went with somebody the second night, and he counted up. There was 24 players on the roster who had played, who had logged innings or logged at bats in Staten Island, and I think 65% of them were Latin players, which was pretty remarkable. The only guy I saw that was even of interest was Wilkinson Garcia, Wilkinson Garcia, I think that's what it is. He was one of the big signings, J2 signings 3 years ago during when the Yankees bought everybody up. He looked good. He played well. He's a little big for shortstop. I think he'll grow into some power. Maybe has a chance to have a major league career. But the Vermont team, which is the Oakland A's short season affiliate, I didn't see anybody there that had anything to offer. The pitching was terrible. The umpiring was terrible. The fielding was terrible. But welcome to going to short season ball. But I love it. And I go see a ton of games, as you guys know. 75 games a year is about average for me. And it's just going out scouting players. And you never know when you're going to run across Tuve. And, you know, that's what you're always hoping, to run across that gym. And when it does, you've got really exciting things to talk about. I didn't. I didn't run into Jose Altuve. And then today was everybody minding their own business. And I think we talked about this on Sunday. Usually Major League Baseball allows, or the teams allow Major League Baseball to have their day in the sun on, you know, Monday and Tuesday. And then they get to work potentially making trades after that. And the Chicago Cubs did not waste any time. And we've talked about the Cubs, and that's just not a very good team. As average as their offense have been, their pitching has been below average. I mean, John Lester has regressed. And again, maybe these guys are tired. Kyle Hendricks has been injured, has not been very good when he has pitched. So Jake Arrieta has been good at times and then bad at times. So their big three has just been good, not great, and they're just wallowing around 500. So they decided to go out and acquire the White Sox, Jose Quintana. And, you know, the thing that you reminded is Jose Quintana is a good pitcher, very, very good pitcher, but he's not an ace. In other words, he's not a top 10 pitcher in baseball. He's probably a top 20, 25 pitcher, a good number, low win, good number two starting pitcher. Good stuff, throws hard, is a lefty, and so it's got all those kind of things. But what he has the most is a team-friendly contract. And as we saw with Adam Eaton, the White Sox doing a great job at locking up some of these good young players for little money for long periods of time has been a bonanza for them to get high-end prospects such as Yoan Moncada, such as Lucas Giolito. And now, I mean, believe it or not, Eloy Jimenez, who is going to be a stud. He's a top 10 prospect for me. And a guy that, you know, it's funny. I wrote my second guys who just missed, and I put in Dylan Cease, and I said, finally, the Cubs are developing a pitcher. Well, so much for that. He goes to the White Sox, and boy, the White Sox could be scary good in 3 years or so, and maybe 2 to 3 years. And because they, I mean, if they can develop half of these guys with the stable that they've got coming up, it's going to be a pretty impressive team, because I still think Lucas Giolito is going to be good. Ronaldo Lopez, I think, is going to be maybe a closer. It could be, you know, kind of a Severino kind of learn to pitch more from his lower half and become a starter. And now I think Dylan Cease has a chance to become a really good major league starter. He might be a closer as well. Can throw 100 miles an hour. The secondary pitches still aren't great yet, but he is Tommy John survivor, so he is still young from a pitching standpoint. I think he's 21, so he's not age-wise, but there's still a big development curve left for him, only in low A, but a guy that I think has a chance to be very, very good. Again, a top 75 prospect for me. Like him a lot. And he's got two wild cards thrown in there. Matt Rose, I've seen play once. I have never heard of Bryant Fleet, I think is their name. It's a Dominican, so just I have nothing to report on him. Matt Rose is probably bound for Asia. But, I mean, you know, hey, he could be a major league piece here and there. Might be a trade piece down the road, a platoon guy at first base. I mean, you never know. I mean, sometimes, Sandy Duncan. Was it Sandy Duncan or is that the actress? Whatever the big Yankee guy that had a year or two of decent play, you know, a big, strong kid that hit, you know, 15 home runs 1 year and, you know, contributed. I mean, those are what Matt Rose could become, a guy who has, you know, 2 years of service across 5 years in the big leagues, and then he's done. That's the kind of guy you might get with him. But the big pull is obviously Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease. And Eloy Jimenez, I mean, this is a guy who has spent his whole year so far in Myrtle Beach. If you've ever been to Myrtle Beach, I think everybody in America has been to Myrtle Beach, at least if you lived on the East Coast. I remember when my kids were young, we used to go to Myrtle Beach all the time, and it was a fun place, but I mean, a million people there every summer, just a million people. And you would go for the Calabash. That's all you can eat seafood buffets. And my wife and I laugh about, because you would line up at 5 o'clock when they open. So you'd get all you can eat crab legs. That was the big thing you got. We haven't eaten in a Calabash seafood buffet in 20 years after the kids grew up. So pretty funny. But anyway, a lot of people have been to Myrtle Beach. If you've never been to the ballpark pretty much faces right into the ocean. So you get the wind blowing right in your face, and it's a hard place to hit home runs. Yet Jimenez has slugged almost 500 and playing half his games there. So this is a big, strong kid that I've already scouted him this year. So I've already written up his capsule for the year. Now I just got to switch teams. Is a guy that I think will be in the mix for home run leader year in and year out. He's probably a 260 batting average kind of guy. But, you know, Giancarlo kind of profile, 35 home runs and 250, 260 batting average, hitting in the middle of the lineup, plenty of runs scored and plenty of RBI opportunities. And so they got a really good player, a high-end player that is just about ready for Double-A. So congratulations to the White Sox, congratulations to the Cubs. I don't know if it's enough. Anxious to hear what you guys have to say out on Facebook and out on Twitter, but I just don't know if it's enough to turn that season around. And if Theo Epstein's probably playing the game he is, he's thinking, well, look, I went in 2003 and run in 2004 and 2007. I think it was 3 years apart. Quintana will still be here 3 years later, and I'll do a little quick rebuild of this team, trying to find out who's there because Arrieta leaves this year, et cetera. And Quintana is not only a piece to potentially win for this year, but probably more likely in 2018 and 19 when I think he'll probably try to reboot this team a little bit and get some better pitching in, particularly in 2019 offseason when all of that talent kind of comes to the forefront. So anyway, that was the big trade. It kind of made this week be interesting, which again, dull week. So to me, the highlights were Aaron Judge and the Jose Quintana trade. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to do this top 50. I'll kind of go through them and tell you what I think. So I hemmed and hawed. That's my my heritage talking. Both my parents grew up in the deep south. My dad was born in some place called Hayhira, Georgia. So in the swamps of Georgia, he was a tobacco farmer growing up, and went to the Navy to get out of the swamps, and eventually decided he was going to be a minister in the while he was in the Navy, and became a minister, as was his profession. But he was always a tobacco farmer, always a farming guy. So we grew up always with gardens and fresh vegetables and all that kind of stuff. But he grew up in the swamps of deep south of Georgia. My mother grew up in Columbus, Georgia, which is about, I don't know, maybe 2 hours north of that. And so I sometimes have these old-fashioned Georgian sayings or Southern sayings. So him and haw, I think, is one of those. You can look at the etymology of that and let me know. But anyway, I debated, let's use that word, who to go number one, because there is no obvious number one. And you can say, well, it's got to be Yoan Moncada, Wilson. I mean, come on, it's the crazy tools. But, dude, that strikeout rate is a problem. It just is, and I say it right here, the crazy tools but the strikeouts are a problem. And if you don't think they're a problem, I think you need to open your eyes. That's not to say that he's not going to be – has a chance to be a special player. I do think he does – do think he has a chance to be a special player. But unless you can control that strike zone, it's hard to be special if you're going to bat 220, 230 because you're not going to be batting at the top of the lineup. And you know, the speed is going to be his big game, at least early in his career. So, I mean, does he become a Yasiel Puig type of player? Again, am I biased because they're both Cuban players? Perhaps. But I mean, that could be the guy that Yoan Moncada comes, and Yasiel Puig's turned into a good player, but not a great player. So there's a non-zero chance that Yoan Moncada is not the player that his tools suggest he might be. So I put him number two. It's probably generous. And I go with Gleyber Torres. Torres is out with Tommy John surgery. It's to his non-throwing elbow, which is always good. I saw him in the Arizona Fall League, and I know Tim disagrees. Tim is a brilliant man. He's wrong here. He wasn't impressed with Gleyber Torres. Gleyber Torres is the real deal. We're talking a good hitter, good pop, some speed. He can definitely pick it at shortstop. It sounds like they might move him to third base. I think this guy is going to be a very, very good player. Does Yoan Moncada have higher upside? You betcha. Would I rather have Gleyber Torres on a dynasty league? You betcha. So I've got him at one and Yoan Moncada at two. But it's interesting. If I take a look at the top 10, and then I'm going to go back to the bottom and go 50 up because that's always a little bit more exciting, is it is chock full of Latin players. Yoan Moncada, Amed Rosario, Eloy Jimenez, number four, Brennan Rogers, who is not a Latin player, Victor Robles, everybody's snickering as I say that, Rafael Devers, Ronald Acuna, going to be a really good player, by the way, Kyle Tucker, not a Dominican player, Lewis Brinson. So that's three non-Latin players. That's pretty remarkable when you think that these guys were all signed at the age of 16. So when you're in Dynasty League drafts and you're seeing those top guys, top four or five players, don't feel bad about signing those players in your redrafts of your Dynasty Leagues, because what we're seeing is the ability for Major League Baseball teams to effectively scout 15, 15-year-old and determine who is going to make it. Look at Miguel Sano. There's a whole movie about Miguel Sano and Pelotaris, and they thought he'd be a star, and guess what? He's a star. He's a guy with 30-plus home run power, probably hit 40 with 80-grade raw. I don't think he's going to bat 300, but this is a guy that's going to turn into a star. So believe it or not, the Latin players coming up, it's gotten a lot more it's gotten less riskier as we've learned more about how these teams scout these players, and they've created academies and they sleep with these guys. They know their routine, they know their makeup, they know if they really want it or not. And I think it's reducing the risks. So I thought that was interesting when I put this list together. And while I don't look at other people's list, I bet you that theirs is also going to be chock full of Latin players in those top 10. But let's go on down to number 50. I'm going to kind of count it backwards. Number 50, I put Luis Robert. I think that's how you say his name. He is the Cuban 17-year-old. He finally has made his U.S. debut, so we know that he exists and that he's got a little bit of a stat line. All I hear is he is the next coming of Miguel Cabrera, probably because he's from the same country, but I have no idea. I have no idea. I've never seen him play. I'm going to try to get out and see him play in the backfields during the fall instructional league, and hopefully I'll get a chance to see it because I will be on the Arizona Fall League that first week. And the White Sox train out there. So I will make sure I get out there and see him. But it's simply based on hype, and that's why I put Luis Robert. So I don't know if it's Luis Robert or Luis Robert. Who knows? I don't even know how to say his name. Ian Anderson comes in at 49, and there's a ton of Braves on this list. And Ian Anderson taking number 3 overall, I thought it was a reach. You know, he's really good. He's got better stuff than I thought he did. He's already got a feel for pitching, so – followed up ahead of him is Forrest Whitley. Look, I've not seen Forrest Whitley pitch at all, but I had a couple of reports from people that told me that they can't believe that the Houston Astros got this kid so late in the game, that he just looks like he's got all the tools, the physicality, and the current arm speed, and you know, all the things that you like from a scouting standpoint to be a top of the rotation guy. So he makes my top 50. A little bit of surprise there for me because I didn't realize he was that good when I first started putting this together. Coming in next with Dominic Smith and AJ Puck, Scott Kingery. Dominic Smith, look, I write and I say, can he hit? He can hit, he can field, but will there be enough power? I say 20 home runs 3 years ago, 20 home runs would have been okay. I don't know if 20 home runs at first base is okay. I honestly don't think it's okay. So if you own him in a dynasty league and you got sitting 18 to 20 home runs at first base, which is the old Brandon Belt, is that good enough? I don't know. Not for me, I don't think. AJ Puck is a guy that I was not a fan of when the Oakland Athletics picked him. He's 6'7", couldn't throw strikes. They've definitely worked on his mechanics. Looks better throwing strikes. Definitely somebody that we need to monitor. Scott Kingery is, I want to say, a guy that came out of nowhere. I saw him a ton in Double A because he plays again in the Eastern League, and I'm at a ton of Eastern League games. I saw him last year and said, he's a nice player, maybe a second division starter, and, you know, he's okay. And so I didn't draft him in any of my teams, and this year he became one of the true breakout players, showing tons of power, playing a very good second base, and everybody asks, is he for real? And I got a chance to see him at a really good game. We got 3 hits. He looked pretty good to me, a very quick bat, a lot of bat speed. But now he's moved to AAA. I haven't seen him since he's been promoted. He's got off to a tough start. So, again, Reading, Pennsylvania is an easy place. It's a hitting paradise. I've been to it. If you've never been to it, it's a short porch. The wind blows out. Definitely a hitter's park. But again, he hit as many home runs away from Reading as he did in Reading. So I think this kid is for real. So I put him in my top 50. Is he going to be a perennial all-star? No, but I think he is for somebody who probably picked off the waiver wire in a dynasty league or a keeper league. Well done, because I think you've got somebody that's got value. Obeshed is a kid that just gotten promoted in Toronto. He destroyed low A. He's starting to destroy high A. He looks just like his father, Dante Bichette. His facial features, it's actually kind of scary. He's going to be a good one. Does he stay at shortstop? I have heard a lot of comparisons to Corey Seager, big kid, probably moved off of it. But Corey Seager's gotten better at shortstop, and that's not. And both Bichette could very well as well. Rhys Hoskins, we've talked about Rhys Hoskins before. I think, you know, we're hearing rumors that the Philadelphia Phillies want to move Tommy Joseph to clear room for Rhys Hoskins. I applaud that. I like Rhys Hoskins a lot. I think he's going to hit 25 home runs. I think he can hit a little bit. He's kind of a Matt Adams dude, right? He's a big boy. This is Matt Adams where Matt Adams lost all his weight, by the way. And I think Rhys Hoskins is a little bit like that. So a guy, again, 25 home run, a 260 batting average, hit in the middle of a lineup. That's a little bit better than Tommy Joseph. And why not downgrade from a youth standpoint, age-wise, and move Tommy Joseph, get another piece, and put a guy. It's probably better than Tommy Joseph, but not a perennial all-star. Players are Brendan McKay and Mackenzie Gore, both kids who were drafted this past June. I know a lot of people who loved Mackenzie Gore. In fact, one scout told me that he would be better than Hunter Green. I saw Hunter Green. I can't believe that. I loved Hunter Green, and I love him. I've already written up Hunter Green for our top 100, and I went on and on and on about the kid. Everything I'm hearing is just great. But Mackenzie Gore can pitch. I think San Diego got a really good value there. He's very athletic. He's very young. And then Brendan McKay is a kid that we're not sure if he's going to play first base or if he's going to pitch. I'd love to see him do both. I think we've talked about this so that we can see him screw up fantasy baseball, and I would love to see that. Right ahead of that are the back-to-back number ones, Royce Lewis at 39 and Mickey Moniak at number 40. Royce Lewis, I wasn't all that high on him until I had a chance to talk to somebody who saw him extensively when he played out in California as an amateur. And this guy just went on and on and on about the athleticism of the kid, thought he would hit. I said, well, who's better, Royce Lewis or Mickey Moniak? And he just hands down Royce Lewis. Royce Lewis will be a way better player, a lot more dynamic tools. Tools are louder. We'll have a chance to hit for at least average power, plus speed, really good defender. Mickey Moniak is more of a Dustin Pedroia type, get the most out of your skills. And again, Dustin Pedroia was an MVP, so that's saying a lot about Mickey Moniak. But Royce Lewis, better skills. Mickey Moniak, just a baseball rap. It's interesting, we come with Sean Newcomb and Francis Martez at 38 and 37, have already shown in the major leagues. And the other thing I found out about this list, there are a lot of positional players, particularly up at the top of the list. So Major League Baseball teams have really done a number on their minor league pitching staffs, and a lot of those guys have been promoted. And you're seeing a lot of guys just, you know, obviously Tommy John surgery, and you're seeing some of that hit that. So, but Francis Martez and Sean Newcomb, I think we know about those guys. Newcomb has a chance, I think, to be good. Francis Martez, I love the stuff. Closer one day or bullpen arm. He's a big dude, not a tall guy. I think plane is always going to be a problem with his fastball. But stuff is big boy stuff. He's got really, really good stuff. Colby Allert comes in at 36. He's just top of the rotation lefty. It's just a kid that's going to be really good. He flies under a lot of radars. Not a lot of people talk about him. A little bit on the boring side. Good stuff, not great stuff. Can really pitch. Has battled through injuries early in his career, but seems to be injury-free at least the last year. Colby Allert, I think, has a chance to be a good one. J.P. Crawford is next. And honestly, guys, I had no idea about J.P. Crawford. No idea where to put him. Is he a top 50 prospect? Is he a top 10 prospect? Is he a top 100 prospect? I don't know. When I saw him, he looked terrible. And I saw him a couple of times early in the season, and it was not good. He looked lost at the plate. He looked tentative. He seemed to be very, very passive at bat. And I didn't like what I saw. And, you know, I was sitting with a couple of scouts, asked them, and they just shook their head and said, he's not the same player. So is this just a lost year for Crawford and the kid that will come back in 2018 and show the kinds of plate patience and the ability to make solid contact? Will that come back next year? I have to believe it will, because this is a kid that hit in every level he went to. And all of a sudden he didn't just forget how to hit. And again, it was the approach that was off when I saw him. He was tentative up there, was late on everything. And it was like he was totally overmatched and acted like he was overmatched. And I think there needs to be some adjustments to that approach, and maybe an adjustment to his attitude that, hey, I belong here. They promoted me to AAA for a reason. They're going to promote me to the big leagues for a reason. And there could be some of that going on with J.P. Crawford. Kyle Wright with Atlanta again. Great pick by the Braves. Number 5 overall. I just say it won't take him long. It's a kid that was really close, is very, very close to being big league ready. Bukakis is another cut. I think he was drafted by the Astros. Could come in as a reliever in the second half, potentially in the Astros system. But Kyle Wright could be starting for the Braves as early as next year, second half of next year. If I'm in a dynasty league, after Hunter Green, which I'm taking Hunter Green number one, I don't care if it's 4 years away. The guy's scary good, going to be scary good. Anything can happen. But what I saw, I've ever seen him pitch, it's an electric arm. It's Alex Reyes. Same kind of – probably more athletic than Alex Reyes. You've ever seen Alex Reyes pitch. Alex Reyes is very, very athletic. But better secondary stuff than Reyes, who's got great secondary stuff. It's a guy that's going to be very good. But Kyle Wright, I would take him right after that. Before all the bats, before Royce Lewis, before Brendan McKay, I would be right there with Kyle Wright. Next is Blake Rutherford. He has not had a very good year this year. I'm still bullish on the guy. I don't know where he was in my top 100, but I'm still very bullish on him, and he makes my top 50. Number 32 is Anthony Alford, who I believe is still on the DL for the Major League team. So I'm assuming he still has eligibility. I hope he does. That's why I included him on the list. Look, I'm a huge Anthony Alford fan. I know it's all about Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette and others, but Anthony Alford is a freaky athlete, and I think he's got a chance to be very, very good. Don't give up on him. Cal Quantrill, I saw him in the it wasn't in the All-Star game in the California League. By the way, I met one of our listeners there and took a picture with him. He never posted it. So Heather was his wife's name. I think it was Kevin. What a nice guy too. He was a warden or a guy that worked at an inmate facility. Just a super, super nice guy. And I was hoping that he would tweet out the picture, at least put it on Facebook so I could retweet it. But we were at this All-Star game. And honest to God, I got in my car at Fresno, and it was 109 degrees in Fresno. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like I literally thought I wasn't going to make it. And I bought multiple bottles of water. I'm dumping water down the back of my back. It was miserably hot. But pretty sure he didn't pitch at that game. But I saw him earlier in the year down in close to San Diego in Lake Elsinore. And I was really impressed. I have him on a number of Dynasty League teams. I fell a little bit on the radar. I think he's going to move through the system pretty quickly. Not as good to me as Walker Buehler, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But a really good guy. Leodo Taveras, that's Willie Taveras. Remember him, the speedster? I think it's his brother or cousin or uncle or something. Nephew, it's some type of thing. Look, he's only in low A. He's 18 years old. Strikeout rate is 16% and the walk rate is 7%. A guy who can hit, barrel the ball, good bat speed. I think there's chance for some pop there. Pretty young, but I think huge upside. And the Rangers do this all the time, is they sign these young kids out of Latin America and they wind up being very, very good. Speaking of very, very good, Derek Fisher continues to make my list. He's number 29. I am sorry. I am a Derek Fisher apologist. I love Derek Fisher. He flies under radar for what reason, I do not know. Nobody else talks about him. We saw what he could do in his very limited exhibition with the Astros. I was wondering if the Astros would make him the lead prospect in trying to get Quintana. I would rather have Eloy Jimenez if that's what the Cubs offered, but Derek Fisher is going to be very good. Will he play for the Astros? I'm not sure. Alex Verdugo, hearing his name pop up with the Dodgers a lot, a guy that could get moved if they try to improve that major league team, which is a very, very good team. Tatted up guy. He does play a little out of control at times, some of the Arizona Fall League, which quite frankly, he looked a little bored at the Arizona Fall League, like he was tired. But I have seen him play just the opposite when I've seen him in season. He can play a little out of control. I don't want to say Brett Lurie-ish, but I'll say Brett Lurie-ish, you know, somewhere-ish with Brett Lurie type of thing. So it's just a guy who seems, he's got a lot of excess energy. By the way, what happened to Brett Lurie? I follow him on Twitter, and every once in a while he'll tweet out something about Aaron Judge in the home run derby. I'm like, what happened to you? I mean, is he even playing baseball anymore? Is he going to go play in Japan or something? I know he was hurt, but it's been over a year. So have we seen the last of Brett Laurie? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, he was Cody Bellinger, Aaron Judge. He was that kind of guy when he came up and just blew off the doors when he first came up. And then poof, just disappeared and was just not a very good player. Just let the emotions get carried away with him. And I don't know. Anyway, where was I? Oh, Nick Gordon. Let off of the Futures game. Nick Gordon's going to be a very, very good player. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the kind of crazy tool that his brother has with the 80 grade speed. And I think that's always going to limit him in fantasy. I mean, he's a good player, a very good player, but he's not going to be a great fantasy player just because he doesn't have that one standout tool. Tristan McKenzie. I love Tristan McKenzie. I tried to pick him everywhere I could in the Dynasty League before everybody knew about him. I can't do that anymore because everybody knows Tristan McKenzie, a guy that's moving through the system fairly quickly. And I think people are going to know McKenzie's name very, very soon. Next is Clint Frazier. I say he might be the forgotten guy in the stacked Yankee system, particularly with what Judge is doing. But Frazier's already shown what he can do at the major league level. This is a guy that's going to be an elite player, and 25 might be a little low for him, given that he's got a little bit of major league experience already. But Clint Frazier comes in at number 25. Hunter Green, I've told you what I think about Hunter Green. Again, it's not just the stuff, it's the makeup, it's the total package. And I can't wait till you read my 400-word expose of Hunter Green, where I talk about the quality of the individual and so forth. It's hopefully you'll enjoy that come September. Lucas Giolito, look, another guy, I just don't know. I 23, is that too high? Could be. I know I saw him a month ago, and I went, wow, that's really, really good stuff. He hung a breaking pitch. Somebody hit a home run. I forgot who it was. But he was command was okay, but he was throwing strikes. His stuff was great. We've seen him pitch 6-7 innings of no-hit ball and then see him get crushed with 6 runs in 3 innings. And I keep saying, and people are now like busting on me that, you know, stop making the excuse that Lucas Giolito is trying to straighten out his mechanics the Nationals screwed up. But I've heard this from multiple sources tell me this, that he's not the same guy. And I remember seeing Lucas Giolito in low A when he pitched against Hunter Harvey. I thought Hunter Harvey was the better pitcher that day, but I don't remember that delivery as much about Lucas Giolito. But what I saw a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, was really, really good. So I'm still pretty bullish on Lucas Giolito. Vlad Guerrero Jr. Had a couple of people review this and tell me that I'm way low on Vlad Guerrero, that he might be the best player on this list. And I'm like, really? And I said, look, he's 18 years old, and, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, doesn't have a lot of speed. And they go, but the power is ridiculous. The arm is ridiculous. Like, from fantasy, I don't really care about the arm. He's going to be a good hitter. He's got a better plate discipline than his father does, and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, this guy's going to be great. Maybe 22 is a little light, but he's one of the better prospects at 18 years old. And you guys know how I like to rank prospects. It's a combination of tools, upside, and closeness to the major league and reducing risk. And I have a combination of those players. So it's rare for me to put a Vlad Guerrero at 18 years old this high. Willy Adames, as I write, he always gets lost in the shuffle. He can really play, can really hit. And I think Willy Adames is going to be a very good player. Fortunately, he plays for the Rays, and who the hell knows when he's going to be called up. It's probably going to be the second half of next year. You're just going to have to wait. Mitch Keller, I love Mitch Keller. I have him on every one of my fantasy teams, Dynasty League teams. He's a kid that's not been able to stay healthy, but he's got some of the best stuff and the best pitchability currently in the minor leagues. It's a guy that I would try to be acquiring if I were you. Again, going to Pittsburgh, if he can stay healthy, which is always debatable, if he can get up there, what they do with those pitchers in the major league level, I think it's only going to help. Didn't work with Tyler Glasnow. And just a moment on Tyler Glasnow, I told everybody that this would be a guy that would struggle early in his career because he's a big, tall, skinny guy that just has a lot of moving parts. He might be a closer one day, not ruling that out. But I think with that athleticism, and I know the makeup is there, I think it's all lined up for him to be a very good pitcher. I think he's a buy low in a dynasty league. I'd be buying low. Ozzie Albies, with the dearth of speed in the game today, Ozzie Albies is probably low at 18. This guy has double plus speed. I think he's just about ready. I'm actually a little surprised that he's not up. Dansby Swanson has not been very good this year. I don't think they want to move him out because of, you know, the leadership ability that he brings. Dansby Swanson's a 15-15 guy. I think will still bat well. He's just struggled. And Ozzie Albies will be his running mate at second base. And I think it's going to be soon. Is it going to be this year? Probably not, but it definitely will be next year. Michael Kopech comes in at number 17. Look, it's elite stuff. I write it maybe a closer. People that throw that hard have a tendency to become closers. Noah Syndergaard, 6'6". Michael Kopech is not. He's like 6'2", 6'3". And when you have that kind of velocity, many times you get thrown in the back of the bullpen and like just heave it up there. Michael Kopech can flat out pitch. The talent is definitely there. Control is not there. In fact, I would not, if I were the coach, I would maybe like, Michael, why don't you just, instead of throwing 100, why don't you throw 96 to 97, tap on the brakes a little bit, take a little bit off of your fastball and try to get better control of those pitches. And then when you need something, reach back and throw 100. And if you're a little wild, that's okay. You'll scare the hell out of the batter. It feels like that's something that Michael Kopech needs to get done because he is exuding a lot of energy to throw that pitch up there as hard as he's throwing. Franklin Barreto is number 16. We've already seen in the major leagues. Wasn't that good. But as you guys know, I'm a huge fan of Franklin Barreto, so he's up there. Alex Reyes, again, another guy, three guys in this list. Where should they be? I don't know. If Alex Reyes comes back healthy, which is a big if, he has top of the rotation stuff. We saw it. The control is going to be troublesome. The control coming back from Tommy John surgery is probably going to be also troublesome. But yeah, that kind of talent is a guy that you definitely don't want to give up on. And Alex Reyes still is highly ranked for me. Austin Meadows, I write, does Cutch finally get moved? If so, then I think you see Meadows. But again, it is the Pittsburgh Pirates, so you'll probably see him next year. They'll probably go with Frazier in center field or something like that, or when Starling Marte comes back, Marte in center and Frazier in one of the corners, and Cutch will get moved for somebody. It'd be interesting. I don't think it's going to be the elite of the elite prospects that some of these pitchers are going to go for. But I do think that Andrew McCutchen gets moved, and I think that opens it up for Austin Meadows. But in 2018, not 2017, Walker Buehler at number 13. Look, I've seen Walker Buehler pitch this year. Saw him right before he got promoted to AA. I was blown away. In fact, he was going to be my top pitching prospect until I saw what Brent Honeywell did at the Futures game. And I'm like, how can there be a better pitcher than this? He comes in at 12. But I was incredibly impressed at Walker Buehler. I saw him sitting 95 to 96, maybe 97. He hit 98 a couple of times. Really good secondary pitches. I was shocked, though, at how little this guy was. I know it says 6'2", but he looked like he weighed 160 pounds. This was not a big dude. And I am a little worried about that. He's a Tommy John survivor. But the stuff and the control that he has of his stuff, the presence he has on the mound, it's all there. I do worry about the size and worry a little about injuries, but Walker Buehler is a man. That's going to be a dude. So get to know the name. Brent Honeywell, if you watch the Futures game, you saw it. This is another next great Rays pitcher. And I don't know what the heck they're waiting on. We see Jake Faria come up and pitch way over his head. And Brent Honeywell's got ridiculous stuff. And I was listening to the game at night after the game was over. I listened to the MLB broadcast, the radio broadcast back. And that's when I think it was Jim Bowden and the world bullpen and the world dugout. and he was talking to people, and you know, as they were coming out, and there was, and it was Yoel Makata said he threw 97 miles an hour straight with a fastball, and then he threw a screwball at 97 miles an hour, and it went the other way. It bent the other way like a changeup. Yet it was coming at 97 miles an hour. He said, I had no idea what to do. I mean, I was completely fooled and blown. I don't know how you hit that ball. So we've all heard about the screwball, but what we saw was presence on the mound. We saw a guy with pretty good control and a guy that is ready. I don't know what they're waiting on, but he looked ready to me. And again, Tampa's cheap, so they'll probably keep him down. But Brett Honeywell was impressive. I think Michael Kopech was the most impressive guy. One of our listeners, I guess a guy plays in a league with us, with me, was at the Futures game and was sent me a couple of emails about it. And I'm like, well, who was the most impressive? Was it Honeywell or was it Kopech? He said Kopech, and he had a picture of the 100 miles an hour up on the scoreboard that he was throwing. But Brent Honeywell was right behind him. So as impressive as Kopech was that day, Honeywell was equally impressive. Coming in at number 11 is Nick Senzel. Look, he's not going to be a superstar, but Nick Senzel can hit. He's got probably 15 to 20 home run power, 15 to 20 stolen base potential. It's a nice, nice little player that will fall in rankings because he doesn't have those big glamorous tools that you like. He's a baseball player, and I think it's going to be a very, very good one. Lewis Brinson comes in at 10. First promotion didn't go so well. I think there's definitely way more in the tank. I think he's going to be a fine baseball player. A better version, I keep going, of Keon Broxton. That's what I keep saying. He's a better version of Keon Broxton. And he'll strike out too much. He has learned to control the strike zone a little bit, so he will take a walk now. He's got more power than Broxton. He's every bit the good defender that Broxton is. He's got more speed. But he's going to struggle with his batting average. If you're expecting a 300 batting average, don't. He's more of a 240 to 250 batting average, hopefully a 310 on-base percentage with a chance to hit 30 home runs one day and steal a ton of bases. He could be a fantasy monster. But again, he needs to work on his approach and get the strikeouts in. Kyle Tucker, I saw him. It was really the first time I saw him was at the it was in the Futures game. He looked boring out there. The swing is so smooth; it's just effortless. He looked like a Christian Yelich kind of guy. Just you know, not the motor not running very high, but man, strong wrists, really getting the ball through his hands through the zone very quickly. I was pretty impressed, but it wasn't like oh my gosh, look at those skills. It's a nice ball player, but not a guy that you go. Holy cow, that's Yoel Makata kind of skills. It's not. It's a guy that I think will be able to control the strike zone, hit, have good pop, be a good right fielder, and probably hit a couple of all-star games, but be a little on the boring side. Not somebody that you're going to come and get your bobblehead for. Ronald Acuna. And all right, Matan who? Kevin Matan was all everybody was talking about last year with the Braves. Oh, he's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh, he's the one from Venezuela. I think Luis Robert is from Cuba, so I probably got that wrong. I said Luis Robert signed that big contract from Cuba. Apologize about that. Matan is from Venezuela, so he's the one that everybody has comped to Miguel Cabrera. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, Ronald Acuna, the Braves are flying this guy through the system. I mean, he's just got promoted to AAA. He's hit everywhere he's gone. He makes good contact. He can take a walk. He's got good power. I don't think we've seen the power present itself yet. Good bat speed, good speed, really good center fielder. That's going to be a really nice player. People say, well, who do you comp him to? I don't know. 15 home runs, 25 stolen bases, 280 batting average, really good center fielder. I don't know anybody off the top of my head, but that's the kind of player that we're potentially talking about. Rafael Devers comes in at number 7. He's been promoted to AAA. The Red Sox need a third baseman. They brought up Yoan Moncada. Did not work last year. Rafael Devers is a better hitter than Yoan Moncada. More power than Yoan Moncada. Don't be surprised if Rafael Devers doesn't see doesn't see the major leagues in the second half. Really, really nice player. Victor Robles, a guy that I took abuse for 2 years ago when I didn't include him in my top 100. Everybody thought I was wacky. Probably was, because clearly 2 years later, he's number six on the list, and he could be the top prospect in the game one day. This is a guy with just tremendous talent. He reminds you of Byron Buxton with all the skills under the rainbow, except he can hit a little bit better than Byron Buxton. But great speed, really good outfielder, center fielder, probably not as good as Buxton out there. Buxton might be one of the best center fielders we've seen in a long, long time. But Victor Robles is going to have some pop, going to have a lot of speed, and going to be a very, very good player. So think of Byron Buxton, but maybe a guy who can hit a little bit. I still believe in Byron Buxton. I still think he will hit. Brendan Rodgers. All right, it's a Troy Tulowitzki starter kit. I say that with some caveats, and I put him at five just because I've always ranked him very high. I've always liked him. I've seen him. I saw him already this year a couple of times. I saw him at the All-Star game, and he's hit 400 when he was in high A and just destroyed. He was in Lancaster, just destroyed that league. But I was taking a look at his stat line, and I didn't really notice this when I was watching him, that I was going to look that up while we were talking, and now I just forgot what I was on. Brendan Rodgers. Okay. Sorry. Let me type this in. The number of walks he took was pathetic. I mean, it's like incredibly aggressive player. I did not know that. I didn't realize how aggressive he was at the plate. And I think that could be a problem as he moves through the minor leagues. And he's played at Asheville and he's played at Lancaster. I've been to Asheville once and Lancaster probably two dozen times. Those are two of the extreme hitters parks in all of baseball. So I'm anxious to see what he's now going to do at AA now that he's been promoted there. But quite frankly, at Coors Field, the hitter's field too. So, but I'm looking now in Lancaster, 210 at bats, six walks. That is six walks. So it's probably 12 weeks. So he's walking every other week. Now you can argue, well, if you're hitting the way he's hitting, why do you need to take a walk? Fair point. 53 at bats, 14 games. He's walked twice in Hartford, batting 226. So, it's still about on base percentage, folks. It is, it's probably about home runs now. It's, I still think at some point smart GMs are going to realize it is about on base percentage and not about power. And I think we've already seen that with like the Houston Astros, that they've gone back to really getting guys who can work the count, get on base, and still have power in that lineup. And now that's why they're the best offense in the game. I would love to see Brendan Rodgers get more on base than he's getting. It's not good. Again, on base percentage 414 in high A, but he batted 395. So it's pretty tough when you walk six times. Now you can argue in Asheville, he walked 35 times in 110 games, which is pretty good. But I want to see what he does in Double A. If he bats 260 with 10, 12 home runs in the second half, and a 290 on base percentage, you could see him drop in my rankings come the top 100 next year. So just fair warning there. While I'm bullish on him in this list, I was taken back by his lack of walks, which gets us back to this top four that we've already talked about. Eloy Jimenez, Amed Rosario, which who the heck knows why he's still in the minor leagues, but he is. Yoan Moncada and Gleyber Torres. That is my top 50. Take a really quick break here, and we're going to wrap this thing up by talking about those players that just missed. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this. I know I have a tendency to talk quickly when it's just me on the line, but sorry. Yeah, listen to it twice. Listen to it in half speed, and you can catch all the details. I got 10 guys here. Don't think of these guys, again, as 51 to 60. These are just guys that I really liked and wanted to see them in the top 50. They just missed. Maybe next year I'll come out with a top 100. Ryan McMahon played in the Futures game. the Rockies love Ryan McMahon. He's one of these kids with 80 grade makeup, kind of a real jovial kind of guy, real team leader, but a guy that's also got plus power. He's learned to control the strike zone as he has gone through his career. When he was at Astros, he struck out all the time. And he's just about ready. Now, does he get moved in the trading deadline? He very well could. I was thinking maybe he could be put in a move to bring in Jose Quintana, but that's not going to happen because, again, I'd rather have Eloy Jimenez than Ryan McMahon at the top of that list. But like Ryan McMahon, I think he's going to be a good player. And our friend Alan Servinus is a big Ryan McMahon proponent. I actually took him in our DL5 league, and I'm holding him for ransom for Alan. He's going to give me Mike Trout for Ryan McMahon one day. So that's my price. I'll just wait till Alan breaks down and gives me somebody of the Mike Trout quality for Ryan McMahon. Kevin Maton, already talked about him. He's not going to stay at shortstop. He's got the 80 raw power. He's only 17 years old. The sky extremely high for this kid. I've yet to see him, but everything I hear is great. Going back to Colorado again, Raimel Tapia, we're seeing what this kid is able to do in the major leagues. He never walks, but this guy makes as an uncanny ability to make contact. And sometimes that's the way it is. Jose Altuve is one of those players. When he first came up, I'm like, he never walked either. And it's a guy that's learned how to be more patient at the plate, and that's what's made him into a superstar. Will Raimel Tapia follow that same path? I don't know. But he's a good player. He's an exciting tool. So a kid that, you know, I really like. Here's a guy that's it might be a relatively new name, and it's Fernando Tatis Jr. Now, for his father, Major League Baseball player, he's a pitching coach or bullpen coach somewhere because he was throwing somebody in the Home Run Derby pitches. I don't know who it was. Don't recall. This guy is a dude. I've heard nothing but like Fernando Tatis could be a superstar. He didn't play when I was out in Lake Elsinore, so I want to go out and see him again, and I will make it out several more times out to the Los Angeles area to catch some games. That's one of my goals, is to catch Tatis, though he might play in the Arizona Fall League. Plus power, he's a good runner, barrels the ball. Again, think of a 260 batting average guy with a lot of home runs and some stolen bases, a chance to be a very, very good player. Juan Soto is a kid that I get a lot of questions on. In fact, I got from the guy who owns the Fantasy Rundown, a really, really good guy. If you've never gone out to that site, you should, because he aggregates like all the fantasy content of like all the articles that come out of all the different fantasy games. And, you know, you just go there and see what everybody's published about fantasy sports for given last night or whatever. He republishes my stuff out there, or links to all my stuff. It's a really, really good site. So during football season, I'm on his site almost every day, kind of looking for the latest football updates, because I don't know anything about football, and I just use that as a guideline to go through and go, oh, who is site recommending for running backs this week? And it's just all there, and it's an amazing job. But he tweeted out me like, what do you think of Juan Soto? Why isn't he in your top 50? And from a fantasy standpoint, I'm not sure, because he can hit, which is the gift that keeps on giving, the tool that keeps on giving. But I'm not sure how much power there is, and I'm not sure how much speed there is. So if you're high on him, you think that 20 home run is going to develop. I just don't know if it is. I do think he gets moved out of Washington as Washington tries to bring in a bullpen arm, unless Kota Glover can get back in a hurry. Juan Soto could be very, very good baseball player, a good on-base percentage guy. Guy can hit, but is he going to have the speed and home runs? Is he going to be Dansby Swanson in the outfield? Is that the player we're looking at, or are we looking at somebody with 20 home run potential? That's what I don't know. Tyler Mahle, Cincinnati, two no-hitters. Yes, two no-hitters already. Guy that I started talking about last year when Joe Musgrove came up, and I remember telling everybody on a podcast, you know who the next Joe Musgrove could be? And that is Tyler Mahle, a guy that is way under the radar, pounds the strike zone, elicits a lot of ground balls, has a little bit better stuff than Joe Musgrove, but is a similar type of pitcher. You go, oh, my God, Joe Musgrove's been terrible. Yes, But Joe Musgrove will be good one day, just like Dan Straley will became a very, very good pitcher. It's a typical number three starter, maybe a little bit more, that flies under the radar. He's not going to be your ace you're looking for. But if he's available on your waiver wire for dynasty leagues, a guy I would be jumping on because I think he will help you as being a number five starter. And he doesn't walk anybody, so the ERA when he gives up a home run, which he will because he pitches up in the zone, just like Joe Musgrove does, even though they get ground balls, I think he'll have a tendency to have a lower ERA because of that. Dylan Cease, Chicago Cubs. Should I change that now to the Chicago White Sox? Look, I love Dylan Cease. I have him a couple of dynasty leagues. He might be a closer one day. It's a power arsenal. He's still very young pitching. I've already mentioned that. He's been hurt, Tommy John surgery, et cetera, but he's got a live arm. The ball just jumps out of his hand. It's all the kinds of things that you want to see in a pitcher, and I think the White Sox did well. Kyle Lewis, remember him? Kyle Lewis is a kid this time last year had just won the Golden Spikes Award as the best amateur player in the country. Hit a ton of home runs as a college junior, and then has this terrible collision, tears his ACL, and he's pretty much missed 12 months of time, and everybody's forgotten about him. I haven't. He makes my guys that just miss. I still think he's going to be a very, very good baseball player. Mike Soroka, another Braves kid, not the same kind of upside as Luis Gohara or Colby Allard or even Max Fried. Boy, I'm going through all these things from memory. Woo! Or even Ian Anderson, but might be the better pitcher currently. So he's going to be a better pitcher in 5 years? Maybe not. But this kid knows how to pitch, and his results have always been better than these other higher upside guys. And a kid that you need to start paying attention to a little bit more than what a lot of people are doing. So another name to kind of, you know, etch into your kitchen table, as the great Lenny Melnick would say. Coming next is Willie Calhoun, my last guy on the list. I put DH. I've seen Willie Calhoun play second base before. It is not pretty. He has some of the stiffest hands I've ever seen. His footwork is not great, but what stands out is just his hands are stiff. He can't play second base. I've never seen him other positions, but I know people who have, and they say he plays second base the best. They don't think he's quick enough to play in the outfield. So can he move to first? I don't know. He's not that tall. So where does he play defensively? So I think he gets pushed down in a lot of the Baseball Americas and the Baseball Prospectus and Keith Law list because he is, you know, they take defense into consideration more than I do. But from a fantasy standpoint, this guy could be just a massive hitter. Will he one day be a DH? Most likely. Will he stay with the Los Angeles Dodgers? I doubt it because I don't see him breaking in at first base with Cody Bellinger. I don't see him breaking in anywhere in the infield or the outfield. So I think he gets moved. And that could happen at the deadline or happen over the wintertime. But the dude can hit. So you're having to be a little bit impatient with him. And if you own him and you see him like not on these lists and go, oh, what a bummer, I'm going to cut Willie Calhoun or need to know. Think of the offensive output this guy has done and take a look at, you know, what his stat line has looked like. I haven't looked at it this year, so watch, he's bat at 220 and I'm all wet. Let me Calhoun. Let me type that in. All right. Willie Calhoun, second baseman, Los Angeles Dodgers. 302 in AAA, 19 home runs, 44 strikeouts on top of 21 walks in 82 games. So we're talking a strikeout every other game and doesn't walk a ton. But like I say, as a guy can hit, he's always hit. He's always had power. He's only 5'8". So he's I don't think he's totally 5'8". And he's one of those bizarre. He went to one of those really tiny colleges. I can't even pronounce the name up in Arizona as a JUCO college. And it's between as you're driving from Phoenix up to the mountains to go to Las Vegas, because I've done that trip before, and you go right by this junior college. Guys, it's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's nothing but wild coyotes running around there. So I don't know. I don't know how in the world he came out of that school, but clearly the Dodgers found him out there, and he's turning into quite the little prospect. That's it. That's our show for this evening. I hope you've enjoyed it. I love doing these prospect lists. I love talking about prospects. We'll be back on Sunday talking fantasy baseball. The great Tim McCloud will be back with me, and we'll be going for an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday. And keep going until we get to the end of the year. It might be a break here and there because I got some vacation time planned. Hope you guys understand that. If you want to get a hold of me, you can always do that on the Twitter at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361. And again, I appreciate it if you go out to our site, prospect361.com, and read all of our content, Tim's waiver wire list, and all the prospect stuff. Again, come next year, you're going to see even more writing coming out on prospects in particular. Maybe more fantasy writing as I start to spend even more time doing that, but more on that later. With that, why don't I play a music outro? Let me do that. I never play music to end the show anymore. So how about the Boys of Summer? That's a good one. Let me do a quick break, and then we'll come back with the Boys of Summer.
Made me cry.